Everyone, and welcome to our worship this morning, which is on the first Sunday after Christmas. And when the Sunday after Christmas is so close to Christmas Day, I know that all of those who attend today are the people who had a fairly quiet and sober Christmas. So welcome to you all this morning, and to all of our folk who are watching online this morning as well. Today we're going to have a slightly relaxed pace service. We're going to begin our worship now with just three Christmas carols. We're going to be having a good old sing of the traditional carols today. So you can sit or stand, whatever you feel most comfortable with, as we sing the carols that are on the film clips for us.
Glory.
So the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
And the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
So let's share the peace. Bless you. Okay, giving Glenda a rest from kids' talks today for Christmas, but Janet's got some stuff up the back of the church there for the kids. If you want to have a colour in and fill out a book, some colouring sheets, she's got it all there for you. And Tony is going to read our first two readings. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading, today is taken from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 10 to 62:3. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Hear the word of the Lord. And the New Testament reading from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Hear the word of the Lord.
We stand for the gospel reading. The Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray. So, Lord, as we hear this word this morning about Simeon and Anna, so teach us, Lord. Teach us how to live life large and to share your life large. In the precious name of Jesus, our Saviour, born for us, we pray. Amen. And on the basis of this text this morning, my sermon is entitled A Message from the Elderly. Well, I hope you all had a very blessed celebration of Christmas with your families and friends. For some of you, the celebrations may be continuing as family and friends stay with you and continue to holiday with you. As you get older, Christmas is still fun, but it's nothing like it was when we were kids, eh? When you see children celebrate Christmas, it brings back something of that special feeling that you used to have when you were a child. Christmas is really a special time for children, for the presents, the parades, the parties, the decorations, Santa Claus, and so on. The focus is on children, not adults, and definitely not the elderly. I guess there have probably been a number of elderly people who were on the edge, if not on the outer of their family's Christmas celebration, celebrating Christmas at home, or in the rest home alone for the day or for the majority of the day. That's not so unusual, for our society is focused mainly on the young, the healthy, and the active. The church could also be found guilty of ignoring its elderly. Many churches today are focused on young people and young families and getting them in and keeping them in. Many elderly of the church, even though they were the young of the church once, feel as if their needs are ignored while churches focus on youth and young families. Yet there is much to be learned from the elderly. There are still many valuable contributions the elderly can make to the lives of people in the church and in the community. In our gospel reading for today, there is a young family, Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. But they're not the main characters in the text. The two main characters in this story are elderly people, Simeon and Anna. And they are making their appearance in the final acts of the Christmas drama. You won't see them in any nativity scenes. You won't see them on the front of any Christmas cards, but they are significant players in this Christmas pageant. By the way they lived, they can show the elderly of the Christian faith how they can contribute to the lives of the young and how the young can learn important lessons of the Christian life from the elderly. The scene of our text is the courtyard in the Temple of Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple in order to dedicate him to the Lord as he was their firstborn. Now, it would have been about 40 days after Jesus' birth because it was required by law that a woman had to wait 40 days after the birth of a child before she could enter the temple again to go through purification rites. So Mary and Joseph were on their way into the temple when this happened. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Well, what do we find out about this elderly man Simeon from our text? Well, first of all, because Anna spent most of her life in the temple worshipping and fasting and praying, it's often thought that Simeon did the same thing, but he didn't. Luke says he was a man in Jerusalem. He was from the suburbs, not from the temple courts. And out there in the suburbs, Simeon had a reputation of being righteous and devout. Righteous meaning the one who does acts that are just and right towards others. Devout meaning one caught up doing what God calls good. Simeon was a man who had a good reputation in the community. It came from active, godly service of others. A good reputation is important. The elderly can teach the young how to gain a good reputation in the community. And this can be done by acts of justice, right acts, and godly service towards others in the community. So many young people today are so busy with their families. They seem to be caught up in themselves and the needs of others, and it's hard to look beyond the confines of the nuclear family. But the example of many elderly who have faithfully served in the community in various groups, service groups, or individually, has made positive contribution. You see, living the Christian life is not only what we might do within the confines of these four walls, but also what we do out there in the community as Christians. Simeon was old and he had a good reputation in the community. Simeon also lived a Spirit-filled life. Luke writes that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, this was in the days before Pentecost, when God's Spirit was poured out among all people. So Simeon was especially blessed to have received the Holy Spirit. And moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts. These words from Luke about Simeon challenge us to ask these questions about ourselves. What empowers me? How has God blessed me? How has God guided me? You know, over my years in ministry, I've been really blessed to hear so many wonderful stories from elderly folk of the way God has blessed them, empowered them, and guided them through their lives. They've told me how he's rescued them, how he's healed them, and how he's led them to the right place at the right time. Many young people today question the Christian faith with the question, does it work? Well, the faithful witness of the elderly can certainly answer this question affirmatively. Luke writes about Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon lived his life with God-ordained purpose. His purpose was to see the Messiah, the promised chosen King of Israel. The Messiah would also be the consolation of Israel, that is, the comforter of Israel. You see, things weren't going well for the nation of Israel. They hadn't heard from God for centuries and they were under Roman rule. They had lost their political independence and were living in fear of the crafty, capable, and cruel King Herod. And many were wondering if the Messiah would ever come. But Simeon knew and believed he was on his way. His expectation focused on the comfort that Christ the King would bring. Among Jews of the day, one of the popular titles of the Messiah was Comforter. To see this Comforter was Simeon's life purpose. Many people today live their lives with little purpose, little hope. I've met many elderly people who have lived life large and full because they knew God's purposes for their lives, or as they've lived out their lives, they've seen God fulfill his purposes in all the events of their lives. This is a wonderful gift to be able to pass on to the generation to come, to know God so well that you know his plan and purpose for your life, or recognize it as it takes shape. For Simeon, this faith wasn't lived out in the temple, in the church, if you like, but out in the world. And it was out in the world that he was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go up to the temple that day. And there he met the consolation of Israel, the Messiah, the baby Jesus, about 2.5 months old. Can you imagine his joy as he takes in his arms the Saviour and says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." God was faithful. Simeon did see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, before he died. He had fulfilled his life's purpose. He could go and die in peace. You know, there's nothing more satisfying in life than dying after having fulfilled God's purposes in your life. Simeon achieved this. And it's not a testimony to Simeon's faithfulness, but to God, who always fulfills his promises. And this is the God Simeon witnesses to, and this is the God the young need to know about today. Because Simeon received the fullness of God's promises to him in the baby that he held, Simeon blessed his parents and prophesied concerning the salvation he would bring, that some would reject him and fall, and some would accept him and rise, that he would experience opposition in his life to his being salvation, and that his life would reveal the motives of people's hearts. And just as Jesus would experience pain and suffering in bringing salvation, so would Mary experience hurt. Now, after this encounter between Simeon and the Holy Family, another elderly person arrived on the scene. Her name was Anna. She was a prophetess. She was of fine Jewish background, and as a result of being widowed very early on in her life, she dedicated her life to a ministry of worship, prayer, and fasting in the temple. She was looking forward to the same person as Simeon was, but with a different orientation. Instead of looking for comfort, Anna was looking for forgiveness. Verse 38 says, "Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." The word redemption is related to the idea of captivity. The Old Testament Passover and the release of Israel from Egyptian slavery stood in Anna's day as the ultimate redemption and symbol of God's power to release captives. Ultimately, Passover pointed to a day ahead when God would provide deliverance from the slavery to sin for his people. And in the baby Jesus, Anna saw this Redeemer, this one who would bring redemption and save God's people, body, soul, and spirit. Simeon held in his hands the future of the world. He had seen and touched it, he was satisfied, and that was enough. And then Anna, also old and approaching the end of her life, adds her own joy and praise and prophecy to the moment. And pretty soon she'll be telling everyone about this baby she spent a few minutes with. Well, by the time a mature Jesus comes on the stage of history, Simeon and Anna will be long dead. Probably most of the shepherds who came to the manger to see him, and probably most of the wise men, and definitely Joseph, his father, will be long gone. 30 years will pass before the gospel story recommences with the ministry of Jesus. Those who witnessed to him as the Saviour, worshipped him as the Saviour, proclaimed him as the Saviour, would only know what they had seen and heard back then. A little babe in arms, powerless, speechless, a newcomer to the world. And whatever salvation that baby might bring to the world was only a promise and a hope, because nothing yet would happen for many years. In this world of COVID-19, of economic decline, of recession, and maybe even depression, with the breakdown of family and society, with the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, with hospital waiting lines getting longer and jobs drying up, there's no better time for the faithful elderly of the church to take the young in their hands and pronounce hope and a future in Jesus Christ, to be agents of life and promise, not darkness and extinction. After all, it got many of them and their parents through 2 world wars, a depression, a Holocaust, many fires, floods and droughts and other tragedies and atrocities. After this presentation in the temple, Jesus was taken back to Nazareth by his parents, and there he grew up. Things went along as normal for 30 years, and then everything changed. The light began to shine, and salvation began his ministry. Jesus was on the path of salvation, the path of suffering, to give us forgiveness for all our sins and comfort for all our hurts and pains, physically and emotionally. Simeon and Anna live their lives in this comfort and forgiveness. And so, as we learn from them today, we can too, because the elderly still have a lot to teach the young, and the young still have a lot to learn from the elderly. Amen. So, Lord, as we take this message to heart and go out into the world, for many of us who have lived long lives with you and experienced your faithfulness and your purposes and plans for our lives, give us courage, O God, to be able to share what you have done in our lives with others, particularly those who have a long life ahead of them, to give them promise and hope, O God, to face the future in this uncertain world. So, Lord, as you have shone the Christmas light on us, so let us, Lord, shine the Christmas light to others, particularly the young who are finding their way in the world. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I believe in the God of Abraham and Jesus, of sinner and saint, doubter and believer. I believe in God who does not require costly offerings, but love, loyalty, and truth. I believe in God who loves our dear ones better than we can love them, yet asks us to put them second so that we may better love them. I believe in the God of love, mercy, and peace, whom to serve is perfect freedom. I believe that what I believe today is only a fraction of the glory that is to come. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this season of gifts, we pray for the gift of peace. Scripture tells us that peace on earth and goodwill towards all men is important. In the hustle and bustle of our celebrations, we do at times forget about the goodwill towards each other. We do need that gift of patience and goodwill towards our friends, towards our neighbours, towards our families, towards that person who just took your car space, and sometimes to others of our loved ones. Let us never forget that your Son, our Saviour, is indeed the only reason for this season and for every season. We pray that all around the world, people of all creeds and nationalities will take time out to think of peace and kindness at this time. We pray for all the world's leaders that they may show compassion and care over their peoples that they govern. We pray for our own leaders, federal, state, and local, that they too may see the value of leading and governing with Christ as their foundation. Lord, in your mercy,
amen. Pray.
Heavenly Father, we pray for the gift of hope. Hope there is a light at the end of this COVID tunnel that we as a world are walking through. We pray for frontline workers across the world who are there for those who are suffering from this pandemic. We thank you for those scientists and doctors who have worked on possible vaccines and outcomes to make it a better life for those who are suffering. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of fellowship. We are so blessed to be able to gather here and online with our brothers and sisters, our HTK family, every week to give you praise and worship. We thank you for the gift of Steve and Glenda and the love and joy they bring to our family here. We also thank you and pray for our retired ministry team who work so hard in the background. And Father, we thank you for the gift of each other, who as brothers and sisters are always here to encourage and support each other through our high times and our lows. We thank you for all our family who do the things around your house here that need to be done every day. Thank you for the blessing they bring to us all. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of health. There are times when we don't feel as well as we could, but your presence in our lives makes all the difference. We pray for those whose health is not as they would like. Give each of us a sense of peace and belonging to you as we and they go through their difficulties. Lay your hand of healing on their shoulders and comfort them. We pray also for those who are carers, for the professionals, for the family carers who often work without thanks. We thank you for them and pray that you will continue to richly bless them. Father, in this time of celebrating, we pray for those who are alone and those who are lonely. Father, give them all a sense of belonging to the greatest family, past, present, or future, your family. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, it seems much longer than just 2 days since we rejoiced at the celebration of life, the rejoicing in the birth of your Son, our Saviour. We thank you again and again for Jesus. the ultimate gift to us, born for us, wrapped in humility. We pray that as we move on into the new year, we can all be more Christ-like in who we are, more Christ-like in what we say, and more Christ-like in what we do for others as our gift, our gold, our frankincense, and our myrrh to you into 2021. Father God, we ask that you accept these prayers and thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord, the reason for the season, who taught us all to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So let us stand and we say the grace to give a farewell blessing to our online viewers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And our online viewers can stay with us as we sing the carol to take us into communion.